We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Welcome back. Big K Morning Show. Paul Alexander in for Larry along with Marty. We're live at the Oakmont Bakery. We're trying to make a stand for refuge for women, trying to make a difference. And your friend from the plumbing company.
Ken.
Yeah, just came in and tried to give you money so we could give it to them.
So I'm going to tell you a quick story.
I mean, this is my kind of guy right there.
I'm going to tell you a quick story about him. It's a fact. I call him the world's greatest plumber because he is. And he's an insanely cool father and a friend of mine now because you meet these people through our business. And he was doing some plumbing in our house one day, and he was alone. And this is the truth, man. I get home from work, and there's a note on the counter with a $100 bill on it saying, you can't do it alone. I'm getting choked up just telling you that. And my man came in here this morning and hands me a $100 bill.
Trying to get money away.
Yeah.
Love them.
For this shelter.
Right.
My man, there's greatness in that, right?
Oh, so much. And there is an honest to goodness in, you know, for those of you that are a little tight, those of you that don't, you know, don't give anything away, maybe that's why you're so unhappy.
Nice.
The reason they say, they say it's better to give than to receive, your body produces an actual reaction when you do something for someone else that makes you healthier and makes you happier. So when you see people that are unhappy, they're not doing nearly enough for other people.
So I got to tell this story in relation to what Paul just said. One of the kindest men I ever met, his name's Ed Dunlap, owned the largest commercial roofing company in America.
Wow.
And I can tell you this story now because he's passed. And so, but he was so
kind. I love this story.
Paulie, if I'm lying, I'm dying. My man would call me and he'd see us out and he'd see that there was a roof that needed replaced. And they can be very expensive.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And he would call me on the phone and say, I'll put the roof on that house, but if you tell anyone, I'll never do it again. I am not, Paul, and he probably did that a dozen times.
Wow.
I could spend the next week telling you stories about anonymous men and women who just want to make a difference. To what you say, they get greatness from it.
It is what gives you a feeling of purpose. It gives you a feeling of giving back. And just seeing, and again, I really, you know, I've met Mark before, but I didn't, you know, he's not one of my boys
yet.
He's not one of my guys anything. But to see and meet his kids, and I know he has other kids we haven't met, but Tony and Kristen.
Oh, come on.
Wow. Wow.
I, along the lines of this greatness, I was telling you how I was with some homeless folks 2 days ago with Bethany Hallam. And one of the women had a third-degree burn on her foot from a space heater. She had fallen asleep in a tent. And she had a recluse spider bite. Patrick, can you come over here real quick? On her calf muscle.
And that can be fatal.
Well, Patrick's smart about this stuff. That recluse bite, because I don't know jack about it, but you did. That immediately kind of, the warning lights went off for you, did it not?
Well, yeah, as soon as I saw that on her leg. It looks like a target. So brown recluse spider bites are poisonous. It has a big circle, and in the middle, it's like a bullseye. And in the bullseye, that's where the spider bite is. And the venom goes in there, and essentially it rots your skin out.
No.
Going around, yeah.
Yeah, from the inside out.
Oh. No wonder people are definitely afraid of spiders.
And you thought that she was at risk at this point.
Absolutely. You know, without treating it, you know, I grew up in the South where we have a lot of brown recluses around, and it's one of the things that you have to watch out. My mother was immunocompromised, so it's more serious for people like that, but and children. And I guess since our winters have been milder, we're having more and more of these, you know, poisonous spiders and insects out there.
So along those lines, Paul.
I hope my wife didn't hear that. She's already deathly afraid of spiders.
There's an operation safety net that was started by this amazing Dr. Jim Withers. The guy's a saint. spends most of his time on the street saving lives. And Patrick was watching this happen in real time. I text him. Within 10 minutes, he has nurses headed there and doctors headed there to save this woman's leg.
Yeah.
And he does this.
Is there a venom or is there...
What do they do?
How do they reverse that?
I'm not sure what the current treatments are for it. I mean, I know antibiotic cream, if it's early, is enough for adults typically. But, you know, for someone who's living on the streets, who knows where their immune system is? You know they're not getting great nutrition.
Well, and she didn't want to go to the hospital.
Well, yeah. Well, she didn't want to go to the hospital for the third-degree burn on her foot or the spider bite.
And so he brought the hospital to her, Paul, which is the point you're making about.
Right.
This doctor is so humble and does most of his greatest work in the middle of the night alone.
Yeah.
Paul, what you say is so profound.
And it's just
the satisfaction of it.
Sadly, in this country, in this world, we really stay away from helping those that need it the most.
Right.
I mean, think about our veterans. The rate of suicide, all the things that are going on, women that are being sex trafficked, I mean, why we're here today, they need the most help, and they're the ones being ignored the most.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't make any sense.
Hey, Patrick, tell Paul and our listeners how impressive this facility is, this Refuge
for
Women.
Inside
oh, my
well.
Gosh, this facility is amazing. In fact, in just a few minutes, I'll share the story that we did. We shot a video down there with Ariana Bazzi several months ago. And we got a tour. It's amazing. I believe there's 10 rooms in there that they can rescue these women and give them a path back to a normal life.
And because of the piece we aired, an anonymous donor sent a $50,000 check and said, please, it's along the lines of what you're saying, Paul. Didn't want her name out there, just wanted to save some lives.
Yeah. And it's not a place that they're just giving them, you know, three hots and a cot.
Right.
They're giving them classes. Yep. They're giving them clothing, shelter, medical care.
Nice.
They have nurses. They have mental health care. I mean, it's an amazing facility. What they're doing really is phenomenal.
It's beautiful.
And I had no idea, and this is, again, we bring it up, that Pittsburgh right now, the 67th largest city in the country, we are the 10th largest problem with victims of sex trafficking in the country. Why is that? And if we're not... you know, proactive about it. If we're not things like this, what are we doing?
That's right. So throw out that number for us again, please, if someone wants to help donate.
So sure, there's two ways to donate. You can send a text message, HOPE-PGH to 53555. It'll prompt you through everything you need to do from there. And the other way is to go to their website, refugeforwomen.org/Pittsburgh. The donation portal is in there. You can enter your credit card information and take care of that.
And here's another motivation. Whatever is given today will be matched by Mark here at Oakmont Bakery.
Up to $10,000.
And he also said, and by the way, if we happen to somehow miraculously go over that number, he will too.
Oh, wow.
So let's get there. I mean, let's make it. Let's give till it hurts. Let's give till it hurts.
Patrick, you're kind of a food snob. What do you think of the no, he is. He'll admit that. What do you think of the dosant, brother?
I love it.
21 layers.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, I love it, too.
I didn't realize he had that many layers.
I didn't either.
Wow.
It's a 21-layer salute.
That's a labor of love to make.
I also didn't realize, Paul and Patrick, how much butter is in it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, oh, yeah.
You doing? I mean, that's so it makes everything good.
I guess it is.
Welcome back. Big K Morning Show. Paul Alexander in for Larry. Marty hanging out.
Jay Costa.
Some of his boys.
One of my favorites.
You know what was so cool is as Jay walked in, he was on the big screen
right above us. He's a star, you know.
It was a moment. That was a moment.
He's
a big
shot.
It was really kind of cool. I thought it would, you know, was cool. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Good to be
here with you today. How are you, man? I'm doing well, thanks. Good to be here with
you guys
today.
Thanks for hanging.
No problem.
Do you eat this stuff?
All the time.
Do you?
All the time. Too much, in fact.
Oh, it's so good.
Have you tried this dosant, man?
I have not.
You have to.
I'll do it.
21 layers.
Oh, my goodness,
It's the combination of a donut and a croissant, the dosant.
These guys make fabulous bakeries.
So how long have we known each other? At least 20 years.
At least, yes.
Yep. And I yell and scream, but you don't. You've always been very
calm, collected.
How do you maintain that in the madness of politics?
You try to do the best you can in terms of, you know, understand what's happening. And like you said, be reasonable. Recognize that, you know, sometimes the yelling and the screaming and pounding the table is not necessary. If you just take time to understand what's taking place, understand the issues, and understand the advocacy from both sides, for example, on an issue, then I think you just just the way you do it. That's my nature, to be able to calm in that regard.
You have always been like that. And for the listeners out there, even in adversarial situations, which we've been in from time to time, you never say no and you always respond. Yep. Why is that? A lot of politicians say, blank you, Marty. Kiss my blank you.
Not just politicians, Marty.
Yeah, regular people.
No, I think
Why is that?
We
always respond.
We always have an obligation to communicate to the public. That's our responsibility. We represent them. We represent their collective interests in our government. And we owe it to them to be able to explain to them what's happening, what's taking place, why people are taking positions on a different issue, why I may be in a different place than you might be or whatever. So that's our responsibility to the public. We represent their interest in Harrisburg and some in Washington, of course, and that's what we're supposed to do.
There's always a greater good, right?
There's a greater good. I mean, that's exactly the public needs to be informed about what's taking place. I think that when we do that, they understand the positions, and I think it helps lower the temperature as well.
You know, Guy Reschenthal is a friend.
Sure.
And he was a state leader at one time.
He worked with us in Harrisburg.
You know, he said something to me that I wanted to mention to you. He said back in the day when he was a state leader, he could drive there, propose a bill, get it passed and funded within months. He hates Washington because he says he'd like to quit because they get nothing done. And people pick on state leaders saying they don't accomplish much, but they actually do. Why does it work better in Pennsylvania and Harrisburg than it does in Washington?
So it's frustrating because in Harrisburg, State Senator then Guy Reschenthaler was able to get bills passed because he was a Republican and he was in a Republican majority. And at the time, the Republicans controlled the House and the Senate. You know, Guy now feels how I felt for all these years. As a Democrat in a minority, we're not able to get our bills passed. You know, I will tell you, the House Democrats, who now in control of the majority party in the House, have sent over 258 separate and distinct bills to the Senate. 95% of them still sit in committee. So there's such a partisan divide with respect to policy issues that is frustrating. So that's why I think Guy's experiencing what I experienced when he was sitting in a chamber with me when he was getting his bills passed. We weren't.
Jay, can you hang around after the break?
Absolutely.
Talk about this wonderful refuge for women.
Big K Morning Show. Paul Alexander in for Larry. We're with Marty Griffin, my man. And we're going to now go out to Joseph Elliott. And, Marty, this guy is going to put together a pretty special dinner from what I understand.
Chef is the man at the William Penn World's Greatest Hotel. It is, actually.
Oh, it is. I love
the joint.
Place.
I love the joint.
Love it.
Chef, good morning. How are you, brother?
Great. How are you?
Great, man. It's a pleasure to have you. So, real quick, we have this warm-a-thon every year. We raise about $200,000 to help keep people's homes.
Keep the heat on.
And every year we have a dinner with myself and my wife. They could not. They have no interest in meeting me. They have no interest. I'm a pain in the ass. I'm kind of annoying.
Kind of?
Yeah, yeah. But my wife is insanely beautiful. She's my unicorn, I call her. One in a billion. And we have this dinner every year at a special joint. And this year, it's at the William Penn and a special meal from the chef. Chef, you looking forward to this, my friend?
Oh, certainly. For one, I'm looking forward to reopening the Terrace Room and, nice. For the community.
Nice.
Also, this is a great cause.
Hey, Chef, tell us what we're going to be eating, my friend.
We're going to do some past hors d'oeuvres. What we're doing is little small mini lobster rolls, kind of like what you're getting from New England. And then also little mini Big Mac platters. I put those on there because they came from Uniontown originally, so I wanted to do something local
nice.
There as
exactly.
well. And then we're doing Carnaroli arancini, which is a rice balls with risotto with summer trouble mascarpone and spicy pepper aioli. And then going down through the courses, we're doing Oysters Rockefeller for our first course. Second course, we're doing a tuna, like a crudo yellowtail on a tuna compache. Pea soup, limoncello granita, which is like an Italian ice. I have some scallops just getting flown in this morning from Block Island Sound outside of Rhode Island. And then beef Wellington Paragordine, very classic preparation of that. And then we're going to do a tasting in chocolate for the final course.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Jay Koss is here. Jay, you listen. You're liking this, aren't you, brother?
I'm liking it.
I'm getting really hungry.
I am, too, and I'm a big fan of William Penn as well.
Oh,
I meet
the
there frequently, yep.
My wife and I spend every New Year's Eve there.
Is that right?
Just
yes.
for fun. Just yep. for fun.
And they donated this, by the way.
Oh,
wow.
Wonderful, yeah.
Wow.
And this chef is the man. He's a legend. I'm serious about this. And this is a big night to open up this restaurant again at the world's greatest hotel. And all of it goes to charity. Chef, I love what you're doing, man. It's a hell of a thing. We really
Terrace Room back open. How cool is that?
It's beautiful, right? Oh, right, Jay?
It's the most beautiful building we have. Yes,
it really is.
Yeah, yeah, well, great. That, the William Penn, the Union Grand Trust
Concourse,
building,
yeah, yeah,
all that kind of just beautiful scenes.
We have so much great architecture in Pittsburgh.
Chef, I know you have long days, so this is, we really appreciate you, man. We really do. Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Well, we look forward to seeing you. Thank you.
Thank you, Chef.
Thank
man,
you.
You're
my pleasure.
Eat well tomorrow. Damn.
I went and stayed there on a very special night for myself and my wife. And we had six rooms that were all, it was where the president stays.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't.
We played.
I've never stayed there.
We played this game of find your naked wife, and I did. You know what I'm saying, Paulie?
She probably tried like hell not to be found. So you won, you won, and she lost.
You know what
I'm
saying?
Is that how that game went?
She probably hates me telling these stories. Jay Costa, on a more serious note, I love him because he doesn't mess around. He's
never
said no. He
gets things done.
Yes, let's talk about the value to you of this shelter.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah, why?
I mean, there's so many women and others across this country that are looking for refuge from human trafficking. Human sex trafficking, and a very volatile, very serious situation when you try to remove yourself from that situation. And we need places that people are able to go and not be recognized, not be known, and to be able to help them extract themselves from that. First, that's the first and foremost. Then going beyond that to be able to get them the support and the help that they need, the wraparound services to be able to help them transition back into society. Most instances, I imagine, with a new location and the like. So it's not easy and it's important, but this is tremendous and important work, and I'm so pleased that, you know, here in our region we have a place like this here.
Jay, how alarming is it that we're the 67th largest city in the country, and we're number 10 in sex trafficking right here in the city of Pittsburgh?
It's very alming.
It's
and
scary.
It's scary, and you wonder why that's happening. And I think at the end of the day, we got to find ways to be able to reverse those numbers, obviously, to reduce where the numbers are. But more importantly, have a place for folks to go who have been impacted. That, to me, is extremely important. That's why I was really pleased to be able to work with these guys and help navigate through some of the bureaucracy in Harrisburg.
Well, this isn't just rhetoric. You help them get through the crap. Honestly, Ben. And right now, you're trying to get
that.
Tell us what you're trying to do right now for them.
Well, we call it bureaucracy, and we work through the bureaucracy. But being able to have a voice in Harrisburg that I have, I'm able to work with them, certainly through the permitting and the like. And I know that we talked about Governor Shapiro earlier, Marty. I mean, what he's done with permitting and how he's reduced the period of time the permits are going out the door, it's incredible, like dropping it like 75%. But at the end of the day, we work with them to do that stuff. And now we know we have a challenge with respect to a third floor egress, and that's what we're working on. So we're going to go try to find the resources to be able to do that, and I think we'll be successful. That'll make more spaces available in the facility, which is we're excited about.
Who can help speed up the Medicaid process that would fund them by almost 50%?
That's right, Paul.
So we're working on that. I think we've got through the initial stages. I know that once you are – these permits are not easy to get, and I think they just need to have folks – who are on top of it, that it's always on the top of the pile on the desk that's in Harrisburg. And that's some of the things we're able to do. But I think this administration has taken great steps to accelerate the permitting process, which I think is a very good thing. And I think as we go forward, these type of situations won't be as cumbersome or burdensome as they have been.
And one thing the governor has been very strident about is this $12 billion surplus. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of great places where that money can go. Well, why don't we do a much better job of getting that $12 billion to situations like this?
You're exactly right. We have a surplus, a significant surplus, and we have the opportunity to use some of those resources. It's about making investments and prioritizing investments. And then once you prioritize them, following through and putting into place a plan that implements what you're trying to do. So. Listen, I'm a believer we need to spend those resources. I would tell you, like 8 years ago, our rainy day fund, which is now $7 billion,
yes.
We maybe had $500,000 in rainy day fund.
Wow.
That's where it was when Governor Wolf took office. And now we are, large part thanks to the federal government. They've been a big part of that. But we've been also good stewards of the resources that we have. But now we're in a position to make investments, and that's what the governor's talking about, whether it be in education with historic education investments, which we now need to take a look at, and economic development. He's come out with a 10-year economic development plan that really addresses five sectors of our economy, including here agriculture, innovation, manufacturing, all those type of things that we need to make investments in. He wants to be part of that. He's pushing our Commonwealth there and wants to put some of those resources, Paul, you talked about, into those programs to be able to do that. But for Pittsburgh and Allegheny County, the innovation piece is outstanding.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
huge.
Oh, yeah.
We need to be able to do that. He's only starting with $20 million. That'll set the foundation. But going forward, year after year after year, growing that number, we become a place where, you know, life sciences, other type of biomedical stuff is going to go on. We become that hub for this country as well as some of the other places.
Hey,
it's exciting.
But it goes to pushback, though, because I could sit Kim Ward right beside you, and I love her.
Yep, I get along well.
She would tell you, you're full of crap, he's full of crap, you're going to blow through the surplus and end up raising taxes. And how do I know this? Because she told me that.
I don't agree with that.
But hold on, this is the great divide you mentioned, is it not?
This is it, yes. You're exactly right. That's the belief of the other side, that we need to continue to hold on to these resources because the projections, you know, 5-6 years out are not rosy. But at the end of the day, you have to recognize that the resources we're collecting today, 5 years ago, they would have told us a different story. Our economy now in Pennsylvania, we're going to end this fiscal year, in addition to the other $7 billion we have in our surplus. So we have seven in rainy day fund, pretty much seven or so in surplus we're running. We're going to add another $500 million of excess tax revenue that we projected back in June. So we're well positioned as an economy. We're doing well here in the region and the Commonwealth. But we also have to make investments. And when you make investments, especially when you make them in the economic development space, when we do the $500 million and putting fixing these places for, you know, big businesses to come, a whole bunch of other things, that grows your tax base. And that's how it's sustainable going forward.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks
for having me.
God bless you, my friend.
We'll do our best. Thanks,
Always.
Everyone. All the best to you guys.
Really cool. Has
Marty,
always been cool.
Great to see you here, Marty.
Thanks, my man.
Take
nice
care.
Thanks,
keep
Paul.
Doing what you're doing.
All right, man.
Welcome back. It is the Big K Morning Show. Paul Alexander sitting in for Larry. Happy Friday, everybody. Marty, one thing that we know, having been in this business as long as we have, and just go read anything or go get on social media for a while, truth is always stranger than fiction. You can't make up stuff that we see every day. You can't.
So,
and this might be as weird as anything I've ever seen. Self done.
Self annihilation.
I mean, it's career suicide,
Woo!
In my opinion.
So, a young lady who is actually a talented sportscaster, very young, at a local station. I'm not going to name her, but you'll get the gist of this.
Whew.
She wasn't fired. Her contract wasn't renewed.
Correct.
Fine. And as a statement, she put this video out on social media. So this is the public. We're not going into her private life.
You're actually just hearing the audio isn't going to be nearly as bad as
seeing
it is seeing it.
But she put this out there, folks.
Yep.
And it's going viral because it's so
whacked.
What is it, Paulie? Different.
Whacked.
Play it, Samantha. Please.
So I no longer have a job. I no longer have a job. I no longer have a job.
Oh.
I no longer have a job. I worked in the television industry for almost 9 years. 9 years. And now, I no longer have a job. What am I gonna do, you ask? I got time, baby. I got time to think about it. But what I am going to do is enjoy that time. Because you see, for 9 years, I have worked on weekends every single week. Whoa. I've never had a weekend off. Ever. In 9 years. But now, catch me outside on a Saturday. Yeah. On a Sunday.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to be doing, but I know I'll be there.
You go, girl.
Because I no longer have a job. And that's how I'm feeling right now.
How you doing?
I'll figure it out. But I'm going to be enjoying this time, baby. Don't you worry.
Yeah. There you have it, Paulie.
I mean, all of the television news directors that are out there now, I don't think they're lining up.
There's a resume
to change her situation, and their current situation is what? She no longer has a job.
And we're not trying to destroy her or
no.
shame her. She put that out there on TikTok. She wants the world to see this.
And it's again, the visual, she does these little moves and little dance things that are just even more bizarre than what you heard.
She has a rhythm to her.
Or a lack thereof. Wow.
She doesn't have a job.
Yeah, that's when I gathered. And
you don't.
I'm not going to say yet.
No, we're done.
I can't say anything else.
They didn't renew her contract, which happens a lot.
It does. Been there.
It's happened to me.
Been there.
It's happened to all of us.
Been there.
And I no longer had a job.
I never once said that to anyone.
It's one of the most unusual things I've ever seen in my career.
That's up there.
I've seen it all three times.
Oh, I know.
Good luck to her.
Good luck.
Because
for now, she no longer has a job.
And for now, we have a job.
Yeah, we do. And we have one to do.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.